Welcome to this Journey Through the Bible podcast. I'm Janet Barlin, and today I'm going to be highlighting some of the wonderful promises which are found in Psalm 91, a portion of scripture which is very familiar, I'm sure, to most members of the body of Christ. It is a psalm which contains powerful promises for total security, protection, and prosperity, which are all available for every single child of the living God. However, as with all scripture, certain terms and conditions apply. These promises are conditional, not automatic, and can only be of real benefit when the necessary conditions are met. Please bear with me today, because for this particular teaching, I'm going to be using more scriptures than normal and sharing the root words from the Hebrew and the Greek in order to get a point across. Let's start off with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for this wonderful psalm. Thank you for increased wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who you are and your character. And thank you, Lord, that your word will not return void. It will accomplish that for which it was sent, and it will prosper in Yeshua's mighty name. I'm going to read the psalm from the Amplified Version. And then when going into the teaching, I will be making reference to the King James Version of the Bible, because I've used the Strong's Concordance. Verse 1 of Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will remain secure and rest in the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no enemy can withstand. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust, with great confidence and on whom I rely. For he will save you from the trap of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you and completely protect you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a wall. You will not be afraid of the terror of night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor of the destruction or sudden death that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but danger will not come near you. You will only be a spectator as you look on with your eyes and witness the divine repayment of the wicked as you watch safely from the shelter of the Most High. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels in regard to you, to protect and defend and guard you in all your ways of obedience and service. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not even strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he set his love on me, therefore I will save him. I will set him securely on high, because he knows my name. He confidently trusts and relies on me, knowing I will never abandon him, no, never. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life I will satisfy him, and I will let him see my salvation. The word for dwell is actually dwelleth in the King James Version of the Bible. The Hebrew root word there being yashab, which means to sit down, or to dwell, to remain, to settle, to marry, continue, habitation, make or keep house, to tarry, wait or linger. Now that's rather a mouthful, but in more simple terms, protection is promised and guaranteed to those who literally make their homes or take up residence in the presence of the Lord, who are closely connected and live in an ongoing, intimate relationship with him. Imagine setting up a home which has all the modern amenities, beautiful furnishings, a spectacular view, swimming pool, garages, etc., yet proves to be of no use because it has nobody living in it. That wouldn't make the least bit of sense, would it? This may seem a rather exaggerated illustration, yet in a way it describes those Christians who know about God, yet do not dwell with him or in him or in Christ due to a lack of relationship with him. And instead of falling in love with him, there is a love for other things because of various temptations that the world system offers, or because of life's pressures and tribulations and trials. Most of us, somewhere along the line in our individual walks with the Lord, and due to our natural sinful natures, have taken ourselves off the sacrificial altar, as it were, for one reason or another. However, it's so important, if this has happened, to hop back on again as quickly as possible, asking the Lord for his forgiveness and doing whatever it takes to remain in connection with him, no matter what the cost. This is literally a matter of life or death, because no Christian has ever achieved anything for the kingdom of heaven in a backslidden state. Nor will it ever prove beneficial to anyone's personal well-being in the long run. Yeshua, or Jesus Christ himself, in John chapter 14, verse 23, made a declaration which reinforces the importance of actually dwelling in the presence of God on a continual basis, and lines up with what I mentioned earlier about the word to dwell, reading from chapter 14, verse 23 of John. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word or teaching, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling place with him. The Greek word for dwelling here is mora, and that's M-O-R-E, and it means literally residence, abode, or mansion. Well, when the Lord drew my attention to this particular root meaning in the Greek, it resonated in my spirit yet again how much the Lord of glory deserves to dwell in the very best accommodation. I'm talking here not only about Christ dwelling in each one of us individually, because as 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19 and 20 clearly states, we are all temples of the Holy Spirit. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is within you, who you have received as a gift from God, and that you are not your own property? You were bought with a price. You were actually purchased with the precious blood of Yeshua and made his own. So then honor and glorify God with your body. That's what the scripture says. Therefore, your and my physical body should be a place that is properly maintained and well looked after. A temple, for example, which is overweight and full of nicotine from cigarette smoking, desperately needs to be cleansed. A process which can only be achieved through an ongoing relationship with Christ and connection with his body, that is, in a local church family. There is an answer to all forms of addiction. Now, having been set free by the Holy Spirit from an eating disorder, I myself can testify to this very thing. Praise his name. I am so grateful to the Lord for setting me free from bulimia. However, it's also so important to make every effort to glorify the Lord in our actual physical homes. Any place, whether it be a private home or a large building, which is used as a church sanctuary, should always be well maintained and made to look as beautiful as possible. The same principle applies to any Christian business, school, or organization, the motivation being that he is worthy and therefore needs to be honored. Even if a church, for example, has its meeting place under a tree, it can still be made to look neat and tidy and properly maintained. There are no excuses, because everything that we do as representatives of Christ should be to glorify him. Going back now to Psalm 91, the word for shelter is actually secret in the King James Version of the Bible. The Hebrew root word being katha, which means to hide by covering or to conceal. A secret covering or hiding place. Likewise, the word shadow is tsel, T-S-E-L in Hebrew, meaning shade, and it gives the idea of the Lord hovering over his children like a bird. He is the Almighty after all, his character being described well in the Hebrew word El Shaddai, meaning all-powerful, the all-sufficient one, the God of more than enough, the one who gives life, who nurtures and pours out his blessings, That is the very nature of our Father. In other words, the Lord God Almighty is available to provide a protective covering, to be a hiding place where no evil force of darkness can penetrate. Now, Psalm 91 also says that he will save you and I from the trap or snare of the fowler. But what exactly does this mean? Well, having done my bit of research concerning a fowler, I found out that a fowler was a professional bird hunter in that particular era who relied on trickery in order to catch his prey. And one common tactic was to trap younger birds and place them in cages in order to lure other birds. The bird catchers would hide themselves and their nets and surprise the birds and entrap them. Now, in a similar fashion, the devil tries to trick God's people into either doing the wrong thing or trap us into wrong thinking belief systems. I like to call it stinking thinking. Revelations 12 verse 9 refers to the devil as the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, and therefore we should not be ignorant of his schemes. Now, concerning deadly pestilences, an epidemic of very large proportion struck the world not so long ago, causing absolute mayhem, and that was the coronavirus disease, or otherwise known as COVID-19, and all of us are familiar with that term. However, Psalm 91 promises total protection against such plagues or epidemics for those who choose to take the Lord at his word and abide under the shadow of his wings. The truth is, there really is no need for any kind of vaccination for COVID-19, because the word of God, combined with the blood of Christ, provides ample immunization against such a disease. Now, I noticed that the Amplified Bible uses the word faithfulness rather than truth. And so the King James Version is the more accurate of the two Bibles here, when it goes back to verse 4, which says, the Amplified refers to his faithfulness being a shield and a wall. But the King James Version says his truth is a shield and a buckler. And it's important to make note of this, because it is his truth which will win the day in the end. And it is truth which will provide protection against the deceptions of the enemy. A shield and a buckler were two pieces of armory used by soldiers in the Old Testament times. A shield was large and it provided protection against arrows, spears and rocks, and could also be dug into the ground. The buckler, on the other hand, was a smaller, round shield which was used for close-quarter combat. Likewise, it is what God says, his opinion or his truth, which will act as divine armory or protection from Satan's trickeries and subtle deceptions, which come our way in many different forms. The devil is very subtle. He even appears as an angel of light, the Bible says. We've got to be so careful that he does not deceive us. And it is by remaining and abiding in Christ in an intimate relationship with him. And it requires getting to know what he says in his word. This is a discipline, and it will always cost us something in order to renew our minds. It's an ongoing process, a process of sanctification, which involves getting rid of stinking thinking or wrong thinking patterns and incorrect mindsets, and replacing those negative thoughts with the mind of Christ. This will empower each one of us and enable us to hear his voice more clearly on a regular basis. The Lord promises in his word protection of the highest degree, even to the extent that while others, and this is what the Bible says in Psalm 91, are literally dying all around us, no evil or danger or harm will come to us, his chosen ones. Now, in line with this, I read a wonderful testimony some time ago in the Believer's Voice of Victory, the magazine, which is produced by Kenneth Copeland Ministries, where Christians, on the morning of the terrible disaster which took place on September 11th, a terrorist attack of the highest degree in America, where Christians heard the voice of the Lord telling them not to go to work that day. Now, in most cases, it would be a very strange thing indeed to hear God say, well, don't go to the workplace today, because going to work is an important thing to do. But because these believers were sensitive to the leadings of the Holy Spirit, not even realizing what was going to happen, the tragedy that was about to take place that day, they listened and were obedient, and because of that, they were protected. Because that particular morning, the Twin Towers, which were part of the World Trade Center complex in New York, literally went up in smoke when an airliner crashed into it. And almost 3,000 people very sadly and tragically died that day. Now, does God have his favorites? No, he certainly doesn't. It was those people who heard the voice of the Lord and obeyed who had their lives spared. His protection is available for all his children. However, terms and conditions apply. And it's ignorance of God's ways and word that have often been the tool which the devil sadly uses to destroy many in the body of Christ. He is a thief who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Christ, Yeshua, came to give life, and life abundantly, as John 10 verse 10 clearly states. In this world, which is fraught with dangers of all sorts, we need to make sure that we are not ignorant of the devil's devices or schemes. And that scripture is found in 2 Corinthians 2 verse 11. Prayer, intercession, and speaking God's answer to life's problems from his word will initiate even the angels to come and protect us as his people. God's ministering spirits, his angels, are there to act on our behalf. And there's a cross-reference in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14, which reads, "Are not all the angels ministering spirits sent out by God to serve, accompany, and protect those who will inherit salvation?" Now, as a wife and a mother, as well as being involved in full-time ministry over the years, I've had to put these principles of warfare and protection into practice on a regular basis. And I believe that there are many times on behalf of me and my family and our local church where angels have actually risen to the occasion. And very often the angels are not seen. They're in the spiritual realm, but they do wonderful things. Angels are known in the Bible to be used by God to assist in not only providing protection to the body of Christ, but also provision. They ministered so wonderfully to the Lord Yeshua in the wilderness, after the devil's temptations, when the Lord had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And during the temptations of Satan, he kept telling him, "It is written, it is written." So he used the word of God every time the devil tempted him. But after those temptations, Luke 4 verse 11 then says that the angels came and ministered to him, bringing him food and serving him. So angels are an integral part of what God uses to protect us. And it's a very vast subject. It's a subject we can't go into today. But all in all, there are many wonderful testimonies of God's intervention through history, and many testimonies which I'm sure those who are listening to this audio could also share. But here are a couple of more recent examples which I'd like to share from my side. When out walking recently, I was on my way home and saw just ahead of me a rather sinister-looking character coming straight down the road towards me. No one else was around. It was on a Saturday afternoon. So I asked the Lord, I said, "Okay, Lord, what must I do in this situation?" And I moved to the side of the road and walked under the trees in response, just praying under my breath, "There's power in the blood of Yeshua. Power in the blood of Yeshua. Power in the blood of Yeshua." Now, unbeknown to me, a neighborhood security vehicle was parked just up ahead. God's timing is always so perfect, even if so often it seems to be very last minute. But I knew in my spirit the Lord had me covered, and the man walked past on the other side. Another example of divine intervention took place when my husband and I were driving home the other day, and by mistake, Graham turned down the wrong road. However, it ended up being a blessing in disguise, because the rain was coming down in absolute buckets, and as we drove into a nearby garage for safety, a large hailstorm suddenly broke out. But thank God our vehicle was totally protected from that terrible hail. Now, some may call these two instances coincidental, but I call it divine intervention. Why? Because the Lord is always there to protect his children. Even at times when doubt crowds in and we don't always feel that we are being protected. But that's where the Word of God comes in. To speak, I have found that speaking out the Word of God, even when I'm not particularly full of faith, it's the speaking the Word that God is able to use, despite our human frailty and lack of faith. I'm just going to come to the end of Psalm 91, where it refers to, in verse 14, and emphasizes the power of his name. The root Hebrew word for name is Shem, S-H-E-M, and it means individuality, honor, authority, or character. There is power in the name of our God, and we as believers not only represent Christ, but we also represent his name and his reputation. So whether the name Jesus is used or the name Yeshua, and where it is called upon, the issue is faith in his name and bringing honor and glory to his name as individual representatives of Christ. There is security, Psalm 91 promises us, for those who love him and bring honor to his name. As I mentioned, it is his reputation that is at stake, which is so important. It also emphasizes in Psalm 91 that long life will be the result and salvation for every believer. The word salvation in the Hebrew is actually the word Yeshua, meaning save, deliverance, hence aid, victory, prosperity, health, help, and welfare. Now, this is where the name Yeshua actually comes from. It means he will save, or God is our salvation. And this is one of the reasons why I personally like to use the name Yeshua, because that is exactly what it means. Salvation in more ways than one. So this wonderful, powerful psalm, along with many other scriptures which promise protection in the Bible, is a very important psalm to stand upon. The truth. It is the truth of God's word that we need to stand upon. And I really hope and pray that those of you who are listening to this audio will have faith built up today in the promises of God's word and what God says, and that none of us will be ignorant of the enemy's schemes, his subtle deceptions, but we will take God at his word and make every effort to renew our minds in accordance with his truth, so that destruction, whether it come from epidemics, whether it be fear, whether it be poverty, whatever tactic or spirit of darkness tries to attack us as God's church, we will get on the offensive, as it were, and say, it is written, Satan. And we will not be victims, but we will be victorious. Be blessed in the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen.